Welcome to Movements in California, a podcast about migration and mobility justice, produced by the California Center for Ethics and Policy, or CCEP, at Cal Poly Pomona, and generously supported by the Cal Poly Pomona Special Projects for Improving the Classroom Experience Grant Program. My name is Brady Collins, Associate Professor of Political Science at Cal Poly Pomona and Faculty Fellow with CCEP. This podcast will explore how migration and mobility are embedded in many of our public discourses, practices, and politics. While we often think of migration at the global scale, reflected in our immigration and refugee policies, everyday migration and mobility is also impacted by local and regional housing, transportation, and social policies that shape where we can settle, live, and work. While some are able to move freely across spaces with little consequences, others have limited options in the space they can traverse and access. This podcast will explore these issues as they relate to different policy areas, from immigration to criminal justice and urban planning. In this episode of the series, CCEP student fellow Jaden Olaresissimo explores the streets of Barrio Logan, a neighborhood in San Diego with strong roots in the Chicano movement and a rich artistic and political history. Jaden visits Chicano Park, in the heart of the neighborhood, to speak with residents and learn what the park signifies for the community. From first-time visitors to a seasoned muralist who has dedicated his life to fostering the park's growth, Jaden takes us through the neighborhood's battle against displacement and how it has shaped the identity of Barrio Logan. We ask that if you like what you hear, if you care about these issues, please share our podcast with your friends, family, and colleagues. Thanks for listening.
What are you guys celebrating today?
Oh, we're honoring Chicano Park. Chicano Park is it's a landmark. It's a cultural, traditional, and ceremonial landmark in San Diego. So we're here honoring it.
Hey listeners, this is Jaden, your CCEP fellow for Spring 2023, and I traveled to San Diego for the 53rd anniversary of Chicano Park. This park holds a remarkable distinction. It's home to one of the largest Chicano Park murals worldwide. Beyond its colorful surface, there are stories that often remain untold by mainstream media. These stories shed light on the implications of how modern freeways have devastated the communities of colors. It's a topic that often gets overlooked, yet it holds immense significance for the community. Take, for instance, Chicano Park, a true cultural gem that settled in the heart of the city. It stands as a testament to the struggles and triumphs of Chicano people, a constant reminder of their resilience. But here's something that might surprise you. Did you know that the very existence of Chicano Park had to fight tooth and nail to protect the land? We're going to dive deeper into this issue and explore the sentiment that surrounds it, all while discovering the profound significance of the park's mesmerizing murals. In this episode, I'm joined by thousands of others on Chicano Park Day. Let's hit the streets of Barrio Logan to ask others what this day means for them.
My name's Sam Maestas.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
What are you doing here today?
Celebrating Chicano Park history.
Do you have anything to do with the Chicano Park history?
Oh yeah, back when I was your age, 18, 19 years old, we were in a battle along with Chunky Sanchez of Los Alacranes Mojados to make sure that the cop didn't convert this into another pig station. We wanted it because it was the only park in Logan area where our kids could play.
So what did you guys do?
Well, we just organized and made sure that that we kept vigilance, that the city wouldn't sell us out, that our community, so-called community leaders, wouldn't sell us out. So we stayed vigilant until we were able to convince enough people that this should remain a park instead of a police station.
What are you up to today?
Nothing much, just checking out the cars, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
How long have you been in Chicano Park?
I don't really live here, but I mean, I come and visit like once a week probably.
Hey guys, how often do you visit? I don't know, second time here.
Second time here.
How about you?
Probably like once a week.
Once a week. So what are you guys' names?
Edna.
Karina.
How are you guys doing today?
Really good.
Great.
So what do you guys
guys doing here?
It's my first time here.
Welcome. How about you?
Just happy that Chicano Park is back after 3 years of not having it. So very good turnout. Definitely there's a lot more people and vendors this time. And coffee. So yes, it's the barrio. This the barrio took over. The barrio took over in... What is it? 79. Yes, the barrio took over. They started planting native plants. They started doing art on the murals. And they basically took over this park as a ceremonial place for our traditions.
How does the murals and art make you feel?
Oh, makes me feel at home, definitely.
Okay. How was your first time here? What's your experience like?
Oh, I didn't think it was going to be this big, and I'm really happy to see the turnout. Faces that look just like me, it's amazing. I love it.
So yeah, that's one of the things also that I think is super cool over here, because it's one of the few places where you could actually see that. This is one of the few places where that's like truly represented. And in an artistic way, you know, it's like an outdoor museum. So like, it's a free outdoor museum, right? And so yeah, Mexican culture is very generous as well, like to be here, to be living here. In this area is to really have a grasp of that, to be like pulled into the culture, everybody's treated like family, everything can exist, softness, stern, firm, brutalist, like it can all exist, and do it in such a way that like brings everyone together. That's really sick. You don't really see that.
That's why I really
I was telling my sister, can I say one more thing? I think this is genius. Mm-hmm. It's genius and it's organic.
Yeah.
No, I think that, yeah, as my sister was saying, the background, the architecture of this is like, it is very inviting. It's interesting to see that in this, you know, kind of setting where it's like, yeah, it's under a freeway. And yeah, and having these authentic, raw, you know, brown and black experiences. My sister and I are black girls, so we understand having very brown experiences. It's like, yeah, to be in a setting like this, it's like, it's almost tear jerking because you're like, wow, this is so beautiful. And like, what we had to fight for was so like over the top and just scary, and like, and it will bring me to a place where it's like, in this type of setting, you would think like, oh, it would bring you back to harmony in a large group like that, but it's like, then you always remember, you know. And I think that that's a beautiful representation inside of the murals that we see here as well. It's a beautiful representation of that.
One of the reasons that I'm here, a lot of people, because I've painted more murals here than anybody else. So, and so, you know, I've been here since 1970. I started painting here. And so, you know, I also wrote a book on the restoration of the murals. So there was, you know, you could ask me several questions. You know, I mean, I don't know if you have any particular question.
Yeah, I'm just more curious about, when the original people put the freeways through here, what made you guys decide to fight back using murals?
Well, the fact is that they took like 500 homes out of the, from underneath the bridge, where the bridge is at now. So it was our community before. So when they destroyed 5,000 families to do the freeway, so then 500 more to do the bridge. So that was a lot of displacement from the community. So we always thought that this was part of our community. So when we saw the pillars coming up, some of the artists thought, well, they look like sculptures and they look like this. So we would like to paint them, but it was not till 70 that when we took over the land underneath the bridge, was then we were more serious about painting first the ramps and then the pillars as we were coming this way.
Okay.
You know, I worked on the kiosk, the architectural part of the bandstand, making it like an Aztec Maya style kiosk. And so it's been, you know, in the 50 years, we've been trying to beautify it and doing more work. And then now it's a landmark where when people from other communities come, they also learn about our history, because a lot of the younger generation that doesn't really know that much, mm-hmm. you know. So it's in a way for us to teach the younger people, and you know, and have a place where not only we gather, but it's also a ceremonial place that we do with our indigenous roots. We work with a lot of our you know, our indigenous, you know, San Diego has 19 Indian reservations, more reservations than any other county of the United States. So we was one of my first efforts is to do collaborations with Kumeyaay here in the county. So there's a lot of indigenous information in the murals, and we do also sweat lodge and other kinds of events that have tie with the Kumeyaay, and then also with Mexico, as we're the most transited border in the world. We, you know, I think Chicano Park, it, you know, has now become like an international place. We have more murals, square footage, than any other public art place in the world. So it's you know, I'm really proud of what it's become. And I think we estimated 47,000 people today.
47? Is that the most you've ever seen?
No, I think we've been between 40 and 50,000.
How do you feel being back after 3 years of hiatus?
Well, I noticed the people really, you know, were really anxious to come back. And I think, you know, it's a tradition that people wanted to maintain. So I think that, you know, I noticed different parts of our community here today, young people, old people, different racial groups also, you know. So it's been great, man. You know, I try to do stuff with the kids, you know, the you know, arts, cultural arts that the kids can enjoy to do, because a lot of times there's not that much things for them to do.
Yeah. I have a secondary question. Why do you think the impact of your murals works so well?
Well, I've been getting better and better as I got been getting older. I'm 74 now. The last one was the brown image one. It's that gold one that's over there. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a gold one with airbrush. I painted it just like I would have painted a lowrider, like a car. And I think it has, you know, I come from a graphics background, and then billboards. I used to do billboards, and so we're experts at doing things in large scale. We have a heritage of painting murals from pre-Columbian, prehistory. We have prehistoric murals just 500 miles south in Mulegé, the cave paintings. We have the pre-Columbian muralists, the Mayans and the Aztecs and that. Then we have the Mexican muralists from the early part of the last century, and now Chicanos since the 60s. So we have a big, like, a tradition. I mean, I painted in China, I painted in Japan, painted in Europe, painted in Cuba, Mexico. So it's we're reaching out to other parts of the world as well.
I just have one final question. We're seeing a lot more younger people coming out of the roots. What's something you want to leave for the people of tomorrow?
Well, I want to leave consciousness and pride of our culture and our history, and activism, that they can tell that what they do can also reflect to the future. So
we want to prepare the younger people to keep it going. The movement, as we call it, the Chicano art movement, going for the future. So we've been proving that that has been going on.
Special thanks to all the CCEP students who worked together over the past year to put together this podcast series, and for the ongoing advice of our CCEP faculty fellows, as well as the Cal Poly Pomona Special Projects for Improving the Classroom Experience Grant Program. And thanks to you for listening.